And good Saturday morning, and welcome into the Outdoor Show. We're live from Franklin, Texas, where I've been doing a little bit of visiting and some dove hunting. Had to relieve these Texans of some of these pesky doves. I got so many of them over here. Well, did get to manage to get a few and make some dove pepper poppers. Is that one of your favorite dishes? Either with duck or maybe quail or some other game bird. If you do, share your recipe. I'll tell you what we did with these, and it was excellent. 504-260-1870. You'll need that number. That's our in-studio live text line. We'd love to hear from you, your fishing reports. And also this morning was something we're going to be asking you, fish kills. You know, if Hurricane Francine came through and actually had a positive impact on the saltwater fishing, and those storms usually do, but some pretty bad news for some areas for the freshwater side. There have been some fish kill reported. I've gotten some reports and some photographs, particularly in the Atchafalaya Basin area. Not so much on the spillway side, but on the Lake Verrett side, the canals that and bayous that connect into Lake Verrett. There's been an awful lot of dead fish spotted, and I'm sure it's continuing as we speak. And by the way, the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries encourages you to report any fish kills that you might observe. So if you've been out on the water, you've seen some fish kills, some location, I'd love for you to let me know where you did, when you did. And again, use that text number, 504-260-1870. A lot of things got rearranged by Hurricane Francine. There's going to be some debris still floating around in some areas. I noticed there were a lot of water hyacinths, those thick, leafy plants that clog up waterways. A lot of those broke loose and ended up in other areas. So you may be going to an area where you've not encountered those, and they may become an obstruction to operating your vessel. So check all that out. Just be extra careful out on the waters. We also have a Louisiana red snapper quota update for you. We're getting down to the winding days of the Louisiana red snapper season. I'll tell you where you stand, and still some time to get out there and catch some of those red snappers. National Hunting and Fishing Day is 1 week away, and there's some very special activities going on. Some catfish stockings into some of the smaller lakes and ponds across the state, and some official National Hunting and Fishing Day celebrations put on by Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. I'll give you a rundown on those if you're going to be participating in that next week. And there's lots of things to do. Teal hunting, dove hunting will still be in. Some areas of the state have deer hunting, and of course fresh and saltwater fishing all going on. Great ways to celebrate National Hunting and Fishing Day. And one way you might want to do it is stop by where I'll be next Saturday. I'm going to be at the grand opening of the PAC, PAC shooting range in Mandeville, Louisiana. James Peters, a lot of you fishermen recognize that name from Venice days with charting with Osprey Charters. James has opened up a state-of-the-art, beautiful shooting range, and the grand opening is going to be next Saturday. So we'll talk to James and let him take you on a tour of the new PAC shooting range. Also, we're going to try to get some fishing reports from some of our field reporters this morning, and also you can be one of those field reporters. Again, that number, 504-260-1870. It's got a lot of uses to give us your fishing reports, good, bad, or indifferent. And also, if you got any questions or comments, we welcome them. And if you are going out, here's your Coastal Marine forecast. Not bad looking at all. Offshore to go get those snapper, northeast winds, light 5 to 10, about a 1 foot sea on the interior lakes and bays. There'll be northeast and easterly winds around 5 knots, smooth conditions. Tomorrow, pretty much a repeat. Winds will be more direct east, 5 to 10, 2 foot seas offshore, and 5 to 10 Ks on the interior lakes and bays. Smooth sailing there. You got about a 0.8-foot tide range. Not a whole lot of range, but good and steady, and the Mississippi River is down at 2.9 and holding steady. So the scene is set. We're going to be back to kick it off with our buddy Robbie Campo down at Shell Beach at Campo's Marina. He's always got good info for you, as all of our field reporters do. And he's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's say good morning to Robbie Campo, Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. Robbie, what kind of week was it down there?
Well, I'll tell you, Don, what a difference a week makes. Real game changer, man. This past week, well, the latter part of this week, and I'm going to go from Wednesday to Friday. Man, some fish everywhere. I'm talking Lake Bourne. You know, well, the fish that's in Lake Bourne here, We're starting to see a few more of the nicer fish moving in, but still got plenty of throwbacks in it. Hope Bay Lagoon, Lake Amita, caught fish in there this week. That's something that we haven't heard of since last fall. So, or last spring, I should say. Caught fish in there. Caught fish in Bay Elwha. Caught fish in Christmas Camp Lake. Caught plenty of fish at the Rocks. But there was just a morning bite at the Rocks. Starting to see fish in the Black Bay area side over there. It was a real game changer this whole week. You know, Don, generally, you know, and this is the way it works, this moon is over. So this first full moon in September is over. So this is going to be the end of the spawn. So these fish are going to start filtering back through these marshes. And it won't be long. You'll be seeing these big old trout again up on the Ponch Train train trestles and up on the Twin Span and the Causeway. And, you know, you'll start seeing fish caught up there. But generally, the first full moon of September is the last spawn of the speckled trout season for that year. So now that this moon is over, you know, fish are going to start trickling back in. I'm not saying that you're not going to catch fish on the outside anymore, guys. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is your fish are going to start the migration back. So, and it's happening, Don, because we're seeing, you know, some of the fish that are caught in Lake Barn are 14, 16, 18, 19 inches, some 20-inch fish. They're few and far, you know, I mean, it's like one every 7 or 8 fish is a keeper. But it's a lot of action going on still, nevertheless, in the Lake Barn area on Eastern Shoreline. Redfish up in the Biloxi Marsh, plenty of redfish. We're starting to see another crop of 14, 14-and-a-half juvenile redfish showed up, especially by the Long Rocks. They, you know, a friend of mine who's a charter captain said he must have caught 50 of them. So that's good. That's a good sign. I mean, that's next year's fish, but that fish probably won't be ready until midsummer of next year, because it, you know, to grow to 14.5 inches right now, they grow really quick. It's to get that other 4 inches takes, you know, that growth slows down. So that fish won't probably ready to around June or July of next year. So, but nevertheless, it's still good to see that we have another crop. Hopefully we get another low river for another year. And, you know, I think our numbers are just rebounding, you know, and I think we're going to be good. So, but that's if we get, you know, if Mother Nature gives us another low river, Don, we don't really know. That'll be a wait and see game. But I tell you, what a difference a week makes. And I tell you, the fish that hit the table yesterday, it was unbelievable, man. And some really beautiful trout caught inside and out. But the most of the fish that were caught in the Bay Elwha area and on the Black Bay side. So still got some good fishing going on out there in that area. Plenty of white trout caught up in Treasure Bay, up in the Treasure Bay area. So if you want to go fish white trout in the Christmas Camp Lake area, they got over those oyster reefs, there's plenty of white trout caught up in there. And a lot of people are turning to that, Don, where you didn't see that before, but they're starting to fish white trout and realize that it's not the trash fish that everybody thought it was. But, you know, everybody's fishing them now. Well, a lot of people are fishing them now, and taking care of them right is it changes the game a little bit. So people are doing that, and man, they've got plenty of them in the marshes out here over these oyster reefs in Lake Elwha itself, not Bay Elwha, Lake Elwha itself over the oyster reefs. If you see birds diving, stop and try them. There's probably a bunch of white trout underneath them. They've been catching plenty of white trout right here in Shell Beach Bayou, right across the channel, so you don't have to run that far. But I'm telling you, what a difference a week makes, Don.
Absolutely. White trout with a little bit of care, just as good as speckled trout. And it certainly is. You bring up a lot of good points. And, you know, it's certainly more important than ever to make sure we release those undersized fish to swim another day with those tighter regulations. Rob, you know, something else we need to remind people of, because I really haven't heard, you know, Wildlife and Fisheries make a lot of announcements about this. But very soon we got that flounder closure coming up, and I had a listener this morning wanted to know about it, where it's illegal to possess flounders between October 15th and November 30th, and that's not far off.
And the crazy thing is that we're starting to see a lot of flounders being caught, Don. And everybody's like, and you're right, it's that, you know, it's closed for that month. There's a whole month there that is closed, and a lot of people griped about it because that's when you do catch a lot of those big doormats, and you can't keep them at that time of the year because, you know, the flounders are going out and they're spawning at that time of the year. So they, you know, you got to have regulations to have things, Don. That's just the way it is. Might not like it, but that's, you know, again, we talk about this a lot. I don't make the law. We just got to abide by them. So
yeah. Well, on the flounder situation, I think it was a positive move because we've already seen some increases in the flounder, and I think it's a good move to shut it down, even though it's prime time for them. But, you know, like you say, we got to conserve to have more. Well, Robbie, last thing, teal, any teal successes over
there
in Biloxi Marsh?
No.
Yeah, I thought so.
No. And you know, Don, we had just a handful of birds over in that marsh, and they were kind of up along toward the lakeshore a little bit. But since that storm last week or whatever week before last, I don't know where those birds went, and they could have went to Venice. They could have went, you know, inside the levee system. They ain't no telling where birds fly to. But it's been really, really poor hunting out in the Biloxi Marsh. If you're going out there to go try to kill a teal duck, I don't even know if I'd waste my time. One other thing, Don, to know, people, you know, it's still hot. There's still a lot of snakes out. Be careful when you're getting in these blinds. I had a guy hunting in short pants the other day, and over on the Delico side, said he had about a 3-foot cottonmouth in a blind with him. How he didn't get bit on the leg, I don't know. Be careful when you're looking in. You know, you're brushing these blinds, and you don't think about snakes being out in the marshes, but you know, from time to time they do get out there. Use your head, guys. You got to look around that pond and make sure you don't have a snake in there with you. Nobody needs to go to the hospital for a snake bite and trying to kill a teal duck. It's be careful out there when you're doing this. But again, Don, a lot of people don't think about water moccasins being way out there in the marsh, but you know, look. Those things are all over, you know what I mean? So
there's other critters that have been known to crawl
around,
up in those blinds, too. You're going in that blind
around,
in the dark. You got to shine that light in there before you crawl in because there may be some critters who think that's their duck blind.
You're right. So just use your head and look around, guys, and we don't need nobody bit.
Exactly. All right, Rob, I heard there was some over by Delacro on that side, by the freshwater side. They started off pretty good with the teal, and I got a little trip going over there next week. So maybe I'll stop by when I go by and see you down there.
All right, Don. Well, I'll talk to you next Saturday, buddy.
All right, take care, buddy. Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina in Shell Beach. As he says, when you cross the bridge, hook a left. And we'll be hooking a left when we come back. Get to some of your text messages at 504-260-1870. Talk about red snapper, fish kills in fresh water, dove season, dove recipes, and Bayou Wild TV. All coming up on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got some text messages coming in this morning. Thank you for sending them. We got this one coming in. Says, it's my buddy Roland Cortez, duck hunting guide. He is in Gaydon this morning. They're listening, and they're going to be teal hunting. Yesterday afternoon was slow. They got 12, but the full moon has got them moving out. Reminds everyone, stay safe this teal season. And we thank Roland for that message. Also have this one, Dad and Emmy. They're headed to Shell Beach to catch those trout and croakers. Well, say hello to Robbie when you go down there. And we've got our listening audience in Franklin, Texas is there. They're wishing everyone a good morning. Good morning back to them. Chip Clement with the Rigolets Fishing Group. He's checking in from LaRonja this morning. He's unfortunately working today and tomorrow. That is a shame, Chip, because I know you like to fish, and men, saltwater fishing in your area has been very, very good. And let's see, we've got a big thank you for announcing the fundraiser for Stephanie DeForge, who is fighting cancer. They had a great turnout. And the high bidder on the charter trip with Cajun Fishing Adventures was Robert Ory. So congratulations. And I know you're going to have a good trip, Robert, and thanks for your contribution. All right, we have Captain Rossell. He said the Reds have been hot, the catching limits. Went down to the Dulac camp. They limit out as well over there on some nice speckled trout on the inside of Last Island. Good place to fish, and might be a good place looking at the conditions today to head out. We have the Steel Man. He is reporting this morning from offshore. He's working, but wishing he was fishing. He's got good company. He's got colleagues, these names, Sixth Street and Nutria Stew. And thanks, they have that thanks to T-Jim and Dollar Bill for the call sign assist. That's from our buddy, the Steel Man. Lafitte LT, it wasn't easy, but they got a five-man limit out of Southwest Pass on Monday. They were three shy on Tuesday, along with a few white trout, mangrove, and lane snapper. Yeah, they want a red snapper trip. Speaking of red snapper, the numbers came in. The last count we have on our Louisiana harvest quota, 93.3% of our nearly 1 million-pound quota has been caught. That, I believe, was through early September, so we are getting very near the end. I would think sometime soon in October they'll make the announcement and shut it down. There's some 62,000-plus snapper pounds of snapper that are left. And remember, it is still a seven-day-a-week season for the red snapper. And while you're out there, at the same time, triggerfish season is open, so you can add one of those, minimum of 15 inches per person, and you can throw one of those reef donkeys, also known as an amberjack. They got to be a 34-inch size to the fork. That's one per person. Those two species, along with red snapper, are also open. You got to keep on top of what's open out there, because that can make or break your day. You know, there's so many different species, and the limits are extremely low on some of them, and there's opening and closing seasons. And by knowing before you go what you can keep is a big, big advantage. All right, let's see. We got our friend Wingbone in Alabama checking in. He's making some Wingbone calls. Want to know how the dove hunt went last week? Well, when I come back after this break, I will tell you. I was dove hunting in Alabama on a special opportunity hunt, and it didn't turn out so well. And that happens every once in a while. And I have a reason, an explanation why I think it did not fly. But I'll be back to tell you about that. And also some of the dove hunts we had here in Texas. And what's your favorite dove recipe? Do you make the pepper poppers? If you do, what are your ingredients? Text us, 504-260-1870. We're back right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, continuing with our text messages, we got the match director checking in. He's on the way to conduct their monthly service rifle match. Well, good luck to you. Hope it turns out well. And we have this one. Good morning, Mr. Don. Teal season has been slow for us, but it's Mud Tire's birthday, and you can't kill him on the couch, so it sounds like he and Mud Tire's going to be out there. But they won't have Possum today. She's out shopping for a wedding dress. Possum getting married or someone else? All right. Funny that Possum would give up a teal day to go get a wedding dress, but she did. All right. We also have this one coming in. This one's a little bit humorous. It says, I'm going to say this out loud. I do not like speckled trout. Never have. I find it bland flavor and soft flesh, and it's too easy to catch. Well, I guess that would leave more for everyone else. But I will tell you this. Maybe you haven't cooked it properly. And the reason I would say that is because, yeah, it does have a soft flesh. And it's not a fish that you would put on a grill because it'll fall to pieces. But there are certain recipes that are conducive to a soft flesh fish. And as far as the bland flavor, well, you kind of got to spice it up a little bit, and there's a little knack to that. So you might want to give it another try. But again, if you don't, that's okay. I'm sure you're not making people mad by leaving more speckled trout in the water for them. All right, we're going to take a quick 10-second station identification pause, and we'll be back to get to more of your text and also tell you a lot more about what's coming up on National Hunting and Fishing Day. And fish kills across Louisiana, result of Hurricane Francine. We'll nail down some of those for you right after we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Now, last week we talked about we could expect some fish kills to occur When storms come in, bringing salt water into freshwater areas, it actually kills the vegetation. As the vegetation is dying, it is consuming oxygen out of the water, and anything that is trapped in that bad water, that low oxygenated water, that breathes with gills cannot survive. And got some reports and some pictures that were sent in to me where it seems to be the worst area was down in that Atchafalaya Basin area. A lot of the connecting canals that lead into Lake Verret, like Crackerhead, which is a very popular spot, Michelle, Ike Canal, Bayou Corn, and I've got pictures of a lot of fish, all species, bass, white perch, a couple garfish some people sent me pictures of. It went over, and the dead water is in all of those bayous, and I don't know if it's progressing into the lake. Lake Verret is a pretty big body of water, so it can take the dilution of the oxygen in that bad water, gets kind of diluted in it, and fish might survive in the big lake. But in those narrow and winding tight bayous that are covered with vegetation, not much chance for a lot of the fish there. I want to thank Brody Lejeune. He lives on Lake Verret. He sent in some of those pictures to our buddy Blaine's Salter, who sent them on to me, and there are hundreds of dead fish floating in some of those areas. A 4-mile bayou between Lake Verret and Grassy Lake, that's a connecting bayou. There's been some dead fish located there, and I haven't got the total on it. I'm sure the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is accumulating the data. There's been some question as whether they should take some type of action as far as closing fishing down in those areas where those fish might have survived. I can tell you this, the worst fish kill that I've ever witnessed in my lifetime, well, two of them, saltwater-wise, was the big freeze of 89, but Hurricane Andrew had came directly up the Atchafalaya Basin. I think the total count was estimated to be 212 million fish were killed of all species. They started CPR, which was a program where they were encouraging people fishing in other areas to catch bass, keep them in their live wells, bring them and kind of restock the area. But most fisheries biologists will tell you that restocking can help, but fish will come back on their own. It takes a while. All of the fish don't die. Fish move, and they will move into that area. But right now, that water's got to improve, and we'll get the full extent. I'm sure there'll be some full reports coming out next week by Wildlife and Fisheries, and you might want to stay away from some of those areas where those fish were killed because not going to be any fish to catch. And we'll keep you up to date. If you have seen any, would love for you to let us know. You can text me at 504-260-187. If you want to send me the pictures, go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Use the contact button and you can attach files of photos and pictures there. And during the show, I just want to let some of you know, there's a lot of ways to contact me, but during the show, use that text message that comes into the studio because I monitor that really closely. And some of these other ones, I don't even see your messages and your calls and stuff like that until I get off the air. And that number again, 504-260-1870. Let's see, we got another text coming in. This is from David Hubbell, one of our Alabama listeners. He wants to wish Wingbone a happy birthday. And, I saw that. Happy birthday to you, Wingbone. He's working today, but back to the melaton tending activities soon. Yeah, you know, Dave, when are we expecting to get the harvest on those melatons? Mine are hanging in there. They're surviving. Hopefully we can to get a little bit of a harvest this year. All right, you got a text. Again, it's 504-260-1870. When I come back, something I want to talk about, National Hunting and Fishing Day. There's a really good opportunity to take advantage of some activities that are happening. But if you don't have anything planned, I got some ideas for you. Back with them after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we had some folks asking about my dove hunting. I've been doing some dove hunting, got some teal hunting coming up next week, and I'll talk to Mike Smith more about that a little bit later on. But I was chosen for a special opportunity hunt by lottery in Alabama, and it was on the Little River National Forest. They had a nice prepared field. Everybody turned out. It was really nice. They actually gave you transportation to the shooting area. And we were expecting a pretty good shoot. And unfortunately, there was a field that was within certainly hearing distance of us that something was going on. I don't know whether it was better prepared, illegally prepared, but there was a ton of shooting there, and we had very little action. It seemed like it pulled all of the doves that would have been in the field we were in over to that one. I don't know if it was baited. There were some agents there that said, maybe we ought to take a ride over there and check it out. And earlier than you would expect the hunt to end, all of a sudden the shooting completely stopped and we heard none. So that hunt may have been stopped, and I don't know that. But I'll tell you what happened here in Louisiana. In fact, I would have 76 bad boys of the outdoors. I'm going to tell you about one story, but the 75 of them, and there's just too many to name, the dove citations were written. There were 100 citations written to 75 hunters across Louisiana on the opening weekend of dove season. And this happens every year. People get in trouble with either not knowing or not caring about properly manipulating a field and having crops harvest that produces seed and feed rather than just going out and dumping feed is a big difference. And they have gotten written up, and they'll get their day in court. Speaking of doves, all right, we did get some doves over in Woodsboro, Texas. Had some good hunt. We missed a lot of doves. Now, that's the fun of it. But we did get plenty enough to make some dove pepper poppers, which is my favorite way to cook doves, although there are many. And you know, there's a lot of combinations you can use when you make those pepper poppers. This particular time, we use poblano peppers. Some people use regular bell peppers, or they use jalapeno peppers. And you take the pepper, slice it, wash it, lay a piece of game bird breast, whether it be dove, quail, duck, maybe season a little bit. Put some type of cheese, anything from cheddar to pepper jack. We use the cheese. It's a smoked cream cheese that is made by Tuttle's Grocery and smoked by them in Woodsboro, Texas. What a great little place. They process deer, butcher shop, the whole deal, little grocery store, deli, and they've got a little lunchroom there. And it's a very popular place. And that smoked cream cheese with the poblano peppers, we wrapped it with turkey bacon, and that was because one of our diners has a little problem with pork. And I think it would have been better with bacon, regular pork bacon. But the turkey bacon worked out well. What is the ingredients you use? What is your favorite when you're making those very popular pepper poppers? It's really easy. It's quick. And a lot of people who don't particularly care for game taste will really chow down on those pepper poppers. I really like them. If you got some ingredients, send it to me, 504-260-1870, your personal favorite recipe for pepper poppers. All right, next week we have National Hunting Fishing Day taking place. This has been going on for a lot of years. It goes on all across the country. It's a day when hunting and fishing activities are honored all across the country. And in Louisiana, we have several celebrations. We got a lot of things going on. Some areas, deer season's already open. We got teal still going to be in. Dove season will be open. We're still a ways from the small game season. But fishing's wide open. And if you don't have a place to go, there's 16 get-out-and-fish ponds that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries has stocked with keeper-sized channel cats. So they're ready to go. It's free fishing. In fact, they even offer some free fishing courses. There's a series of those. And if you go on their website, it's a two-hour class. And it's the very, very basics of catching fish, and especially an emphasis on catching those delicious channel catfish. They're easy to catch. All of those ponds are easily accessible, and they're listed on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. There's 16 of them, and I'm sure there's one not too far from you. Now, there's also going to be some demonstrations and exhibits and hunting and fishing activities. I'll let you shoot skeet, show some casting demonstration at four different locations across the state. There'll be one at Wadeel Education Center. That's in Baton Rouge. In Minden, it'll be at the Bodcar Tom Merrill Recreational Center. In Monroe, there'll be one at the Black Bayou Lake National Wildlife Refuge, and at Woodworth, at the Woodworth facility, from 8 a.m. to 1:30, there'll also be one of those celebrations. The employees with the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries come out and demonstrate, show expertise. There's taxidermy mounts. They demonstrate how they trap turkeys. They have different types of firearms that the kids can shoot and have casting demonstrations. And again, that Wadeel, like those 16 other ponds, has been stocked with some of those hungry catfish So you might want to get a chance to get out there and get those. All right, and speaking of those stock catfish, let's see, I heard Big E from Thibodeau. He gave it a shot, and he missed out. Something went wrong on his trip. Let's see if I can find his. Yeah, here it is. He said they went out, and they tried the pond in Houma that was stocked just last Thursday. He went yesterday. They used the Santee Cooper, the drop shot, the Carolina rig, sliding bobber with night crawlers, stink bait, jello hot dogs, not a single bait. Bite. Is the full moon a factor? That's from Big E. Full moon could be, I've found, with a lot of game and fish, full moon stimulates activity, but it's more like midday and midnight. It's odd times, and that might have been the effect. But, of course, with the heat of the day, early morning is usually better. So sometimes, Big E, they just don't bite, and there's no explanation. But don't give up. I know you've caught them there before, and go back and get them, and let me know when you're successful. All right, coming back after this, we're going to be talking to James Peters, the owner of Pack Shooting Range. They're having a grand opening next weekend on National Hunting and Fishing Day. You may want to stop by there and celebrate with them. He'll tell you what's going on. Coming up next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Okay, I want to thank the listeners getting in some more reports of fish kills. We'll check those out. Also, some good and bad reports on the teal season. And, man, Captain Robin, you are making me hungry with that Peppa Papa recipe. I'll share that with the audience. But right now, we're going to talk to James Peters, the owner-operator of the Pack Gun Range, where they're going to be having a grand opening celebration on National Hunting and Fishing Day next Saturday. A lot of you may recognize the name Captain James Peters of the charter boat Osprey, operating out of Venice for many, many years. James, good to have you on with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Don. How are you?
I'm doing great. What decided for you to leave the boat for a while and get over there and open up a brand new state-of-the-art technology shooting range?
Well, you know, I believe it or not, I grew up hunting ducks and deer and shot shotguns and rifles. Pretty much my entire life, and you know, about 5 to 6 years ago, I started shooting pistols and realized what a challenge it was, and man, I fell in love with it, and I decided that, you know, after my wife and I had visited many different shooting ranges around the country, that our area needed a kind of a state-of-the-art shooting range, and so that's kind of what got me started, and we've been open for just about a month or so, and everything's going great. You know, to be able to shoot a pistol in a nice environment was just something that I felt like we needed in our community.
Well, there's a shortage of good shooting ranges, and people do travel to get to them, and yours is one of the finest I've ever seen, and fortunately, it's very close to me, and I was happy to see the sign go up, and it took you guys a while, but you finally got it all ready. It's opened up and ready for business, and if you would, kind of take us through a tour for people that haven't been there yet.
So basically, we're on Highway 59, right off I-12, and you know, we have a 10-lane shooting range with a very sophisticated HVAC system, which kind of keeps the air real clean around you, and it makes, you know, for a good shooting experience. You know, basically, when you're shooting pistols, there's a lot of gunpowder, a lot of lead, and everything, and to be able to have the air fresh around you, because basically the range empties itself in under 2 minutes as far as the air goes. So, you know, it just makes it a lot nicer, you know, to have all the fresh air and everything. We have about a 3,000-foot retail space with a lot of guns. We have over 300 guns, pistols, you know, all the way shotguns, rifles, AR platforms. And, you know, basically we're kind of a new open place that has a lot of different guns.
You know, I met some of your staff there, and you've got some excellent people there who are really very familiar with gun safety, gun handling, and actually you probably offer some shooting instruction and classes there.
A lot of instruction. Yeah. You know, we do a lot of classes, and, also, you know, what I always kind of recommend to people is just to do a little short little hour class or with a, you know, kind of one-on-one with an instructor, just to show you how to, you know, to handle the gun, to hold it, you know, how to grip it right, and you know, techniques on how to, you know, on how to shoot it efficiently. And it's really a simple process, but with a little bit of instruction, it really does help. I really actually had a lot of my employees just kind of fell into my lap, you know, because the shooting community on the North Shore is very big, you know. My general manager, for example, has worked at just about every shooting range south of the Mason-Dixon line. He's worked for four or five different sheriff departments and, you know, knows guns, Don, better than anybody I know. he's also a gunsmith by trade. But he's kind of the rock that's keeping us going. But, most of my staff is ex-military and has a lot of gun experience. And they all, the greatest part about it is they all love to come to work, you know, every day. That's the repetition I hear every morning is how much these guys love to come to work and share their gun experience and teach it to other people, you know.
James, some ranges have limitations on the type of calibers. What can you use over there at your range? What can you allow?
Well, basically, my range, it was made by Russian ranges, and these guys have really taken it to another level. Basically, my range, you're allowed to shoot 50 BMG. We do kind of, you know, we make special occasions for that, obviously, because we don't want to blow the doors off everybody in the next stalls. But we're capable of shooting anything. As we kind of say, above .308 caliber, you need a little bit of, you know, permission, you know, to come in and shoot,
right,
or whatever.
Reservation. Well, James, stay with me. We're going to take a little news break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the activities coming up on National Hunting and Fishing Day and also about some ladies training and ladies nights and more with James Peters, Pack Gun Range. Stay tuned. We're back after this.